Harihi Om Sahanavavatu Sahanau Punaktu Sahavirjankaravavahai Tejasvinavatitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so now Mahabharata chapter 30, Krishna visits the Pandavas. The Pandavas continued to dwell in Kuvera's abode for 4 more years. In that celestial atmosphere, they hardly noticed time pass. One day, Arjuna and Bhima approached Yudhishthira and spoke with him privately. Bhima said, O king of the Kurus, in order to make good your vow, we have restrained ourselves and not killed Dhritarashtra's sons. Rather, we have lived for 11 years in the forest, deprived of our inheritance. These past 4 years have not been difficult, but the time is now approaching when, in accordance with your promise, we will need to enter some inhabited region and live incognito. Let us therefore leave this mountain and descend again to earth. Right, so they only have 1 year left. Right? Bhima said that both he and Arjuna were determined to punish Duryodhana, but feared that if they remained on the high plateaus of the heavenly Gandamandana, they might forget the miseries of the Kauravas had inflicted upon them. This would weaken their determination, right? So they want to go down to where things are more, not always nice, you know, it's just like that. Therefore, we desire to leave now. We brothers, assisted by the infallible Krishna, will surely help you regain your kingdom. We all desire your welfare and long to encounter your enemies in battle. Because so they have this very nice service attitude. That's the thing. Is because one may say, "Is oh no, but they could get so much more benefit on their own and all that." But that's just the point. Then only you have it, and who do you share it with? You can say, "Is no, when I get it, then I'll share it." But if your process to get it was through being only self-centered, when you get it, that's where it will remain. It's not that I can be self-centered and then when I get everything, now I can be, you know, so gracious and everything like that. One is you can't guarantee you'll get to that position. And two, even if you do, you'll still be worried about what benefits you'll get out of it by sharing it. So it won't actually be about a personal relationship. So that's the thing, as you see here, is that the personal relationship, the actual values and that sense of selflessness, that's just there in the culture. And so if you do get gains, it's something you can share nicely, you know, with others. And if you don't get gains, you still have the relationship. So the point is in the Vedic system, you always have something. You always have solid relationships. And then the facilities just means the situation is nicer or not, but relationships remain. Well, in the modern, it's all about the situation. The situation is better, then you're supposed to be happy and all that. And if the situation is worse, you're not supposed to be. But where's the relationships? It's not the central point. And therefore, people are frustrated because living entities, person, they're personal. So therefore, they're going to naturally look to a personal interaction. Yudhishthira agreed that it was now time to depart. Along with Draupadi, the brothers visited the various groves and lakes of Kuvera's abode one last time. Offering their respects and saying farewell, Yudhishthira then prayed to Gandamandana Mountain, O Lord of Mountains, we are ready to depart. Please grant that after we have conquered our enemies and recovered our kingdom, we may again see you at the end of our lives. Right, so that now as Grihasthas are going to conquer their enemies and move forward like this, but then at the end of their lives, when it's time for Vanaprastha and time to go to the forest, that they may again come to Gandamandana. And you know, in this and on Gandamandana, that's where they spend their last days. Because Gandamandana sees they're engaged in spiritual activities and the environment's so nice, so they want to come back to that. That's the whole point of the early training, is that if one, in one's early years, if one has been trained in an environment of spirituality and that nice relationships and those solid things, then one can keep hold of that through the Grihastha Ashram and again come back to that position in the Vanaprastha. That's the whole idea. So it never becomes lost. But if it's all about yourself, you know, when you're young, then it's about yourself as a family person. Then at the end of life, then as everything moves away from you, the young people, they do other things, their values are different, you can't move with them, you can't do things with them, then you're lost. Because one may say, oh yes, yeah, spiritual life's for the end of life. But the problem is when does the end of life come? It comes when you can't do anything else. And then at that point, because you have no practice, you can't do it. Of course, it's popular. Everyone says, yeah, later, you know, but the reality is if you don't do it now, you can't do it later. It's that simple. You see, people who are religious when they were young, they're the ones that are religious when they're old. And the people who weren't religious when they're young, when they get old, they're still not religious. And so in this way, then they just die like cats and dogs. Cats and dogs aren't religious, so in the same way. Yudhishthira was thinking of the time when, after ruling the kingdom, they would finally retire to perform asceticism and gain spiritual emancipation. Surrounded by his brothers and the brahmanas, he then began the march down the mountainside. Bhima summoned Ghatotkacha and his followers, and they again carried the Pandavas party over the difficult mountain passes. Right, so where they are, there's a certain amount that you can walk nicely, but then, and you know where the gardens are, then you come down to where the mountain itself is. Because in these mountains, you have the sides of it are very strong, harsh in the conditions. You know, the wind, the cold, the sun, like this. But then you get these like either plateaus or valleys. So they were on the plateau, and so there it's going to be very, very nice. But then when you start back down again, that's the part where it becomes difficult. So then they walk out of that area, and then when it comes back to just being the side of a mountain, then that's where then when they call Ghatotkacha, and then he carries them down to the bottom of the mountain. The Pandavas were sorry to leave Kuvera's abode, but as they gazed back at its sublime beauty, their minds were delighted. Right, because it's just something that's nicely made. It's always nice, you know. You see it; it looks nice. You're there; it's nice. So that's why in the past, people took pride in their construction of things and that, because then it was something that would last. You know, you make some furniture. Previously, furniture you'd make it last hundreds of years. It wasn't something that you used it for 5-6 years and then the leg broke and then the springs collapsed and then, you know, one of the cushions gets a coffee stain on it and all that. No, it wasn't. They didn't make stuff like that before. Everything was meant to last. And so just looking at it, it was inspiring. It was satisfying to the mind. So here you see how Krishna arranged this thing in the creation. Then things that are in their natural state are always going to be beautiful. And then when he makes the regions that are of the heavenly aspect, they're even more beautiful, even more. So they're just so satisfying to look at, just like that. The brothers soon arrived at Badrikashram. After being greeted by the sages there, Yudhishthira dismissed Ghatotkacha, choosing to continue the downward journey on foot. Right, so they went down to there, and then from there it's still a bit difficult. But, you know, it was, because it's not like they have some place to get in time. They were just coming down from the heavenly regions. And so then in these earthly regions, they're within, you know, these are the higher aspects of it. But then, you know, they still have a year. So it's not that they're short on time. After remaining a month with the Badri sages, they set off towards Subahu's country. They met Subahu and spent a night with him there before proceeding towards the forest Vishakyapa. As they traveled, followed by their porters and servants, they saw charming woodlands, lakes, rivers, and fields. They stopped each evening at dusk and camped wherever they were, preparing a meal from simple forest fare. Right, so the general thing is you walk at whatever is a comfortable pace for you that you can maintain. Because if you're going long distance, you can't go, you know, so much and then the next day you can't even move. You just move at what pace works for you and that. And you start in the morning, you get up and you do your bath, your morning, you know, mantras or prayers, whatever it is that you're doing. Then after that, then you walk. And wherever you get at dusk in the evening, then that's when you stop. because then you need a little time to set up, take a bath, do this and that and all these things and set up camp. And then you have your evening meal of whatever you've collected as you've gone through the forest or whatever's right there. And then you rest in the morning, you get up, you know, so that way it's something you can maintain like that. Gradually they reach Vishakhayapa, still within the Himalayan range, just as the monsoon season was approaching. They decided to remain in Vishakhayapa until the rains passed and then return to Kamyaka. Right, because Kamyaka is right down. But this is still up in the mountains and in the mountains themselves. In the first day of their stay at Vishakhayapa, Bhima went to explore the area. Armed with a bow and sword, he wandered at his pleasure through the woods, which were frequented by Gandharvas and Siddhas. Right? So even here, anywhere on the side of the Himalayas, then the Gandharvas and the others, they come and they spend time there. So it's not that it's not wonderful. Right? You know, even here you have a little park with a few trees, it's wonderful. Let alone where it's in such a nice natural position as in the Himalayas. And so, you know, these auspicious places and that. So the heaven, those from the heavenly regions, they get to the heavenly regions because of a lifestyle and mode of goodness, right? Without that attachment. And so therefore then they're going to be naturally, even though they attain the heavenly regions, their interest is going to be in things that are in the mode of goodness. Right? They have a body in goodness, so they like an environment of goodness. So they're going to like these nice forested areas and stuff like that. It's like you're not going to find them hanging out in Times Square, right? You know, they're just not going to do that. The trees rang with the sounds of exotic birds and bore fruits and blossoms in all seasons. Bhima saw, because it's still a very nice, so the higher up you go, the more elevated it is. So you see that they as they go up, then they have all these nice facilities. So they have so many different kinds of trees in that. Either the trees themselves are always just constantly giving fruit. Like even here, you know, on our level, there's a kind of mango tree called Baromas. Means it'll have the mangoes grow and they'll get fully ripe and everything. And when the season's over, when they're all gone, then it'll flower again. So it'll do that 3 times a year. So, you know, four months will be one group of mangoes, then the next one. So like that, you can have trees that they themselves give, or it's that you have so many different varieties in that there's always a tree there that is in is giving fruit and flowers in that for that season. There's something else in that, you know, like there's fruits all through the year. So, or both, you know, like that. Either way, it doesn't matter. Point is that it's such a pious place that the trees are always giving fruits and flowers. Bhima saw clear rivulets flowing from the mountains, creating large transparent lakes filled with lotuses. Right? So lotuses grow in very nice places. They don't grow in dirty places. So the water's clean and pure, then they grow there. And you see is that the creeks are coming down there pure. They're coming through the mountains, through the rocks and everything nicely. The lakes are clear and everything because they're not being disturbed or agitated or polluted. And so you get a very nice environment. That's the idea in the Vedic culture, is that you work in cooperation with the laws of nature, with the laws of... And so by working with these laws, then you see as everything remains nice, you know. But if you deal outside of that, then you end up with a very, very improper thing. You know, people need space and all that. Like modern cities, people get less and less space. So ether is one of the 5 elements. So just as you need proper earth, you need proper water, and proper air, proper fire, you also need proper ether or space. And so in the modern, there's no space. You know, you don't have that openness and all that. And so human life can't go on that well. You know, people may get used to it, but we have to remember, you know, ants get used to it or rats get used to it. But it's not human. Human means there's space. So we see before is you had big cities, but they had space. You know, everybody had space. Like you see sometimes old areas where people used to live, like servants' quarters before. Servants' quarters, if you go back 100 years or 200 years, where big houses had servants' quarters, the servants' quarters then were bigger than, you know, the owner of the house, you know, his quarters now. Like that. It was just understood you needed more space, and you have one house and grounds and that, then you'd have the next big thing and then that. You might have areas there, but everybody had space. like that, you know, a bit, and then slowly, slowly space disappears, like that. So in the Vedic, they wouldn't do that. You know, you'd be very careful about that, so that things stayed very nice and open, and there would be parks. And so even if somebody did have, okay, they themselves don't have so big of an area, there's always parks around, constantly, parks and that. So if they can, they go out and then like that, like Mumbai. In the evening after work and that, when the family's back from wherever they were, then everybody goes out for a walk around the city. But they're just walking in the streets. There's no park. You know, it's just like that. So it's just, well, previously there'd constantly be parks around and everything. You see Dwarka and all, they'd be constantly like that. So that was the standard. You follow that, then these elements, you know, are there, and it makes for a very nice environment. Wild boars rushed at the Pandava, and he killed them each with a slap. Right, so he went out with bow and arrow and with his sword, but, you know, because he's so strong, then using his strength is always more entertaining, right? So just with a slap, they come running at him like that. He just slaps them and that's it, you know. He also slew numerous buffaloes and deer, piercing them with the sharp arrows. Them he would do, but the boars are just attacking. Bhima possessed the strength of 10,000 elephants, and he sportingly uprooted and broke many large trees, clearing areas where rishis could later dwell and perform sacrifices. Because otherwise it's complete jungle. So he would see, okay, here's a nice place for rishis to stay, let's say next to the river or stuff like that. It has nice fish. So, and he'd pull those trees up, and now so rishis could settle there. So even their dealing, they would go, like the animals they'll kill, it's once where there's too many of them. And that they're going to create a problem. Like, you know, you can say as if there's some buffaloes and they're here and there, then it works very nice. But there's this monster herd. They don't care. They'll go through a sage's ashram and destroy everything. So you have to have it small enough where they do care. And so they'll go around. But as soon as they're big enough that they don't care, then they'll just trample everything, destroy everything. So then this way, then they were, you know, the Kshatriyas would control. He struck his arms and roared exuberantly as he roamed about. Elephants and lions fled in fear as they heard his roars, right? So they didn't come and attack him, right? Boars aren't as smart, right? The ever-proud Bhima, devoid of fatigue, filled the skies with his shouts. He crushed mountain peaks by kicking them. Ranging along the mountainside, he saw large serpents retreat into caves as they heard him approach. You know, and as we see here, as we heard before, Nahusha and that. So when you say large serpents, we don't mean the regular cobras and this and that. So maybe king cobras, but yeah, also anacondas and all these kind of really big, means ones that are big enough to swallow people, those ones. They went into caves. We're not talking about, you know, the garden snake over they heard and they went into the cave, right? Bhima pursued them along the rocky plateaus. Suddenly he came upon a terrible looking serpent resembling a hill. It lay coiled at the mouth of a great cave, entirely blocking its entrance, right? That's a very big snake. Its skin was yellow with black spots, and inside its yawning mouth were four fangs, right? So, like that. It sounds like some variety of viper like that. As the snake glared about with its copper-colored eyes, its forked tongue licked the corners of its mouth. Bhima stopped and gazed at the serpent. It resembled death himself, as it lay hissing as if to reprimand him. As Bhima came closer, right, you know, he could have just kept walking, right? The snake suddenly seized him and entwined his coils around him, right? He could have just kept walking, but he's Bhima. Bhima felt his strength draining from his body, and despite his efforts, he was unable to extricate himself. He trembled and fell unconscious for several minutes. Okay, so next we'll hear what happens with Bhima. Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.